So on Monday, there was a meeting held by the local NHS bosses in Yule. Could you tell me a bit about it?
Okay, so I attended the meeting on Monday. It was really well attended. There was two MPs. There was Chris Grayling and Siobhan McDonough. And there was a lot of local residents. The meeting just was a pre-consultation meeting. So we had the Surrey Down CCG, Merton CCG and Sutton and Epsom CCG. And they all came together to discuss what is being planned and put forward. And what it is improving healthcare together from 2020 to 2030. And it's looking at reconfigurating our local hospitals, i.e. taking away the acute services from Epsom. They've got three different scenarios: taking away acute services from Epsom Hospital or from St Helier Hospital, and creating an acute facility in one or the other. Or their preferred scenario is to remove acute services, and that is maternity, accident and emergency,
intensive care,
coronary care.
Children's
services.
Yep.
From Epsom, and their preferred scenario is to take away acute services from Epsom and St Helier, and having one acute facility which will be attached to the Marsden. So basically getting rid of two accident emergencies, two lots of acute services, and just having one.
So have they said what the benefits would be from that, or they haven't mentioned?
They say that that there's duplication of services.
That is laughable.
It is.
The fact that two hospitals have enough for two hospitals.
You know, you'll have duplication of McDonald's, and you have duplication of Costa Coffee.
Yeah.
You know, if there's a need for these services, that we're not hearing that services are under, there's not enough patients going to services, so it's quite a silly argument to say that that there's duplication of services, so they want to bring two lots of services onto one site. That's why they want to do it.
They have to come out with a pretext, because they can't possibly say we want to reduce services across the country, therefore do you mind half of your hospitals or more shutting? So they have to come out with the arguments of, well, we have too many staff, or we haven't got enough staff to cover two sites, or that the buildings aren't fit for purpose. That's one of their mantras, fit for purpose. You hear that a lot. So they can't come out and say what they're really trying to do, so they have to justify it with this kind of slick delivery. And of course, we're all getting older, as they keep telling us. So there's lots of strain, so we need to centralise services. So that's basically their pretext to the cuts that they want to enforce. These are all part of something that was introduced a few years ago called STPs, which was Sustainability and Transformation Plans, which then became partnerships. But that broke the country into 44 areas. And in those areas, they have to impose cuts, and they have to restrict services and shut A&Es.
Mm.
And this is playing out on obviously the local level. And I think we'll probably come to it later. But
yes.
There are local other hospitals that will have a knock-on effect.
Mm-hmm.
So this is not just Epsom and St Helier, it's the surrounding hospitals as well,
mm-hmm.
that will feel the pinch.
Yeah. So what do you think some of the major consequences of the proposal could be?
Well, people are going to die, basically. What I strongly feel is that people from poor areas such as Mitcham, where already they've got worse health outcomes, one car, maybe even no cars, they're from poor areas, and they've got further to travel in their time of need.
Mm-hmm.
So, Mitcham is right on the outskirts of the actual plan, and what could will probably happen is that the people in them areas are going to go to St George's,
mm.
which is at full capacity anyway, or the May Day. So it's just going to put strain on our other major hospitals.
Yeah. So how else do you think the other surrounding hospitals will be affected?
Well, as Sarah said, they're already under stress, and they're going to struggle to cope. And I think across the country, the A&E target, which I think is 4 hours to see or to be to get through the A&E, across the country, that's failed. And I think locally, they've been nowhere near that target. So
it's 1 in 5.
Is that right?
Yeah.
So you know, so if they reduce it even further and take away a further 2 A&Es at Epsom and St Helier, then the surrounding hospitals, which Sarah said, Croydon, which is the May Day, St George's in Tooting, and also Kingston, because those five are the five major acute hospitals in the South West London footprint, they call it. So every other hospital is going to feel it, every other hospital is going to be under pressure, and it's just, you know, at the time where they keep saying there's more people than ever, there's more strain on the health service, you build more hospitals, not less. Mm. If they were to add a brand new hospital, which they are misleading people in saying, if that was in addition to the two hospitals we have, we wouldn't be here.
Yeah.
It's the fact that we know they are reducing them overall, but they're dressing it up as somehow it's a better thing in the long run, and it's not.
So how have you been campaigning to try and stop the proposal?
Well, I personally have... There's a local group called Keep Our St Helier Hospital, or COSH for short. I was with them for over 5 years. They continue to highlight these proposals. They fight for both Epsom and St Helier Hospital, because what they've tried to do is, in the past, to say, well, there's only one hospital that can be saved, Epsom or St Helier, so we have to choose which one. But no one, apart from groups like COSH, have actually said, no, we need both, like I said before. Both of the MPs, a lot of the councillors, are kind of falling into this trap of, we can't keep going as is, we have to make changes, we have to reduce. And they've gone along with the plans. Paul Scully in Sutton has, Tom Brake in Wallington, and Carl Shorten had before he lost his seat.
Yeah.
So we basically need not only to protect the hospitals that they represent, but also their neighbouring hospitals.
Mm. And it's just getting the word out, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's informing people. That there's been a lot of street stalls where we've been informing people what's going on. There's a petition that's on kosh.org, or you can find Kosh on a website. We've got a doctor called Dr. Bob Gill, who Colin helps. And there's been 4 attempts to get rid of St Helier Hospital. Better services for better value. Was the one before this one, wasn't it? Yeah, there's been various ploys. I mean, what contradicts it all was in about, I think, 2010 or 2012,
yeah.
The government put aside £225 million to rejuvenate St Helier Hospital. So 8 to 10 years ago, they were able to do it, but then the money was taken back by the government. But now they're saying that the buildings are old and dilapidated, and the buildings predate the NHS itself, so they're too old really to consider having an acute, fully acute hospital sustainable on there, which is just ridiculous. All the houses in that area predate the NHS. My house predates the NHS, but
Buckingham Palace predates the NHS,
and we're not going to pull them down.
Yeah.
You know, you update, you modernise.
Yeah,
because
that's another thing they say it's old buildings. You know, the windows are falling apart. You know, there's leaks in the roof. Okay, but that goes to show that they haven't maintained the buildings.
Mm.
You know, and if they would have had that 200, I think it was 19 million, they would have had lots of money to do that. But they've chosen not to do it, and now they're using the neglect of maintaining the buildings as a pretext to actually remove the services or to change things around. So they've actually, you know,
but
turned around their failings.
Yeah, but the other contradiction is that they're saying that 85% of patients will still be seen at Epsom and St Helier. So even though the building is not fit for purpose, they say they're getting 500 million from the government to build the new facility, but 80,000 was it, oh, 80 million of that money is going to be used to update Epsom and St Helier. So they're saying on one hand that the buildings are too old and not fit for purpose, and then on the other hand they're saying, but we've got 80,000 to improve them.
80 million.
80 million, sorry, 80 million to improve them. So it's just such big figures for me. But so why aren't they doing, why aren't they putting the money, like 250 million in each of it for, towards each hospital to improve, to make them modern acute hospitals?
And also they've just announced that they've opened up a new renal ward at St Helier, and they got someone from EastEnders, who used to be in EastEnders, to open it. Okay, so on the one hand they're sort of saying, oh, it's too old, it's an old building, and then they'll open up a brand new ward. So they're contradicting themselves. Basically, they lie. They lie to kind of get to the next stage, a bit like a certain prime minister that we have. So they'll say whatever they need to say to kind of get to that next level, and then they deal with the next problem. Whereas we tend to assume, we tend to assume that people who run the hospitals, like the chief executives, the people who are in the CCGs, who tend to be the more entrepreneurial of the GPs, that they run it for us, that they actually represent us and have our interest at heart. But that's not, unfortunately, how it is. The people who tend to do the decision-making now, the hierarchy of the NHS, tend to be more business-minded as opposed to medically trained.
Mm-hmm.
And that's playing out because they are seeing it as a target. I think Daniel Oakley's gets something about £230,000 a year with bonuses included to basically push through a lot of these measures. And his last job was in Northwest London, which was one of the biggest cuts programmes, I think, in the history of the NHS. Recently, actually, was scrapped, so it fell apart. And that included Charing Cross Hospital, which would have, I think, been 15% of what it currently is. So he oversaw those plans, which basically were scrapped because they were so unpopular and didn't work. And now he is the chief executive of both Epsom and St Helier. So he has a track record of being a hatchet merchant, basically.
One of the first times I met him, I attended a CCG board meeting, and I put my hand up and I said, how much would it take to bring St Helier Hospital up to standard? And he turned around and he said, oh, we've already looked into that. And he didn't give me a direct answer. But then he turned around and he said, there's many people who are putting consultants and nurses off of coming to St Helier Hospital. And that's one of the reasons why we've got such short staffing levels. And I sat there and I thought, oh my goodness, that's the last thing I want to do, is put people off. And then 3 days later, this Health Service Journal got a leak of our local SDP plan before it was published, which said that they want to reduce our five hospitals, which is St George's, Epsom, St Helier, Kingston and Mayday. That's our SDP, down to four or even three. And he already knew that. And there's me at my first ever meeting thinking, oh my goodness, I don't want to turn people off, and that he wants to keep this hospital open. But it was just duplicitous and lies. Mm. And I found that out within 10 minutes of meeting the man.
See, because a lot of the time we're accused of being scaremongers. That's the thing that we often get told. Because they'll sort of say, well, it's not shut. You said it for like a number of years and it's still here. So obviously, you must be misinformed, or you're just scaring people for the sake of it. But I mean, I live in Wandsworth, and I can remember St James's was shut. The Bolingbroke was shut. The Weir Hospital in Ballam was shut. The Tooting Mental Health Hospital in Tootingbeck Common was shut. I think there was another one in Tooting Broadway. So, and that's just off the top of my head. And that's in the last 30 years. And then you have the Wilson and the Nelson, I think, which are in Mitcham and Rains Park.
Rains Park.
Mm-hmm. So there are hospitals that have shut, and they only need to shut once. So the fact that St Helier is still there is largely because of campaign groups like us making it an issue, because once people take their eye off it and it's no longer a story, then they'll just move in for the kill.
Yeah.
So the longer you can keep it a story, and the NHS is in real danger, so we need to save everything we have because it's getting to crunch time now, I'm afraid.
So what has the reaction been like from those in the local community regarding the plans?
I think most, when we talk about this, what you find is most people are worried about the accident and emergency, losing accident and emergency. Shock, disbelief, what can we do? Most people are really eager to sign the petition, aren't they?
Yeah, because the purpose of a campaign or a campaign groups is to take information that the public don't know about and to actually inform the public. So often when they come to stores or when they talk to us on the street or at events, the first thing is shock, because what they've heard, and when they see the consultation leaflets and the glossy pamphlets that the Trust come out with and the CCGs, you know, it looks like everything's great, it's been done for our benefit. And then when we actually tell them what they're really up to, they are completely surprised and, you know, horrified, because they're not told the whole picture. So that's kind of where we are. You know, once we actually tell them what the plans really are, people are shocked and really worried. And then, of course, they're like, well, why did we not hear about this? And then that turns into what we can do. So, but we need to make sure that people know that they can actually make a difference. But they've obviously got to be outraged first and then be ready to act. And then we'll hopefully point them in the right direction of what they can do.
So do you feel like your views have been heard by the local NHS bosses and the CCG board members?
I think they've heard of us.
They've definitely heard our voices and the opposition. Campaigners have been at nearly every public meeting, board meeting, CCG meeting, voicing their concerns. We are heard, but whether they're taking on board our concerns and our worries.
Because what they always try to do is they'll always try to present the image that they have all the power. They have the power, obviously, but the general public, if enough the general public know about what they're up to, then they can only kind of keep it under wraps for so long. So that's basically what we're trying to do. And so we are a thorn in their side. We're an embarrassment to them because we actually expose what they're really up to. They don't want us to be there. They'd rather us just go away and they will get their bonuses and they will, you know, put through the measures that they need to do, and then they'll go off and destroy another hospital somewhere else. So, but this is what our purpose is to expose what they're up to. Mm-hmm. And if we can get enough people outraged, then all of a sudden these plans that look unstoppable fall apart, which they did in Northwest London and they have done in other places. Mm-hmm. So we just got to keep doing what we're doing, and eventually enough people will kick up a fuss, hopefully with your help, and these people will scurry away into somewhere that we can suggest later.
So are you hopeful that you'll be able to put a stop to the proposals?
The consultation runs it formally started today, I think. No, the 8th.
Wednesday,
yesterday. And it runs through until April
the 4th.
Is it April the 1st?
Yes.
My God.
Which is very appropriate.
Yeah, and that is the time where people need to be talking to their MP, to their MP, to their councillors, writing to their GP, mm-hmm. telling the GP what's going on, because a lot of the GPs aren't really aware, or it's painted in very glossy terms to GPs and healthcare providers. So it's, you know, writing to these people and letting them know that you're not happy. There are templates online that I think kosh.org has got templates where you can write to your councillor, GP, MP, and get involved in the consultation. So as I said, the consultation's up and running now, and you can look on improvinghealthcare.org, I think.
I mean, the names themselves, Improving Healthcare Together, Better Service, Better Value. I mean, who dreams up these titles? I'll tell you who dreams up these titles. People like PricewaterhouseCooper and Deloitte and Kingsgate, these management consultants who the Trust have spent a fortune on to try and spin their message, because they don't actually mislead the public themselves. They get, you know, private companies to do it for them. And people have a bias. You know, when they see people in suits, when they hear, you know, people who are surgeons at the hospital, you believe what they say because they have a nice suit on and they're very elegant and articulate. And we think they must know what they're talking about. They sound informative. They sound intelligent. And then when you hear, like, you know, people like ourselves contradicting what they're saying, the first thing that people tend to do is like, well, they're a position of authority. Surely they're right. These people who are challenging them, they obviously don't know the facts. But that's, we need to get out of that belief, because we have been campaigning for many years. We've been following their plans, probably a lot longer than a lot of these people have been in, you know, in their current positions. And we know the plans. We know that the undermining of the NHS has been going on for at least 30 years. A lot of hospitals have gone. A lot of companies, private companies, have come in. A lot of changes for the worse have already happened. And so the fact that we're actually highlighting this and saying that these proposals are the latest development for all these long-term plans needs to be done. So hopefully people, like Sarah said, will sign a petition, sign those letters to GPs, councillors and MPs. We have 12 weeks to put a stop to this consultation, and just share as much information as you can. There's videos on the COSH website, lots of informative videos that you can share.
And the petition, where can they find that to sign?
That's on COSH.org.
COSH.org.
I think it's COSH.org/petition, but it's, okay, it's very easy to find. It's on the first page.
K-O-S-H.
Yeah, Keep Us and Helio Hospital. Which campaign for both? I don't see the website, but it's Improving Healthcare Together 2020 to 2030. And funny enough, a lot of these proposals only go up to about 2025, so they're not actually covering the whole range of the title of their own program. So they're only sort of.
On the front, it says 2020, and on the back, it says 2020 to 2025.
Okay. And also, this new facility, because they keep saying it's a new facility. And a lot of people say, oh, it's a new hospital, but actually it's not a brand new hospital. I think it's to go alongside the Royal Marsden, as Sarah said. But there's a lot of confusion about when that will actually be ready. They're talking about removing the A&Es and the maternity and intensive care from St Helio and Epsom fairly soon, in the next year or two. Whereas this new facility, they don't know where it's going to be built yet, but it will probably be at least another 4 or 5 years away. So, again, what's going to happen in that time? So I think it's a stepping stone to just having less services. Well, it is a stepping stone to having less services. So if you're worried about your healthcare, we need to act now.